Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
2 Kings chapter 5 verse 20 and 20, we take to 27. 2 Kings chapter 5 verse 20 to 27. Hallelujah. Let me quickly open my Bible. If there is anybody with your Bible, if you are there, read. That's one way you can follow. If you have the, if you have that passage, you are there yet, you can read. 2 Kings 5:20 is a long read, so praise God. He said, but Gehazi, verse 20 said, but Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, underline that, the man of God, said, behold, my master has spared Naaman this Syrian in not receiving at his hand that which he brought. But as long as the Lord liveth, the God who made me, I will run after that man. If I don't run after that man, collect that thing. Put my mouth on me. That was what Gehazi was saying there. He said, as to God who made me, as the Lord liveth, I will run after him and take somewhat of him. Verse 22, verse 21, next verse. So Gehazi followed after Naaman, and when Naaman saw him running after him, he lighted down from the chariot to meet with him and said, is all well? That was the language those days. Is all well? Is everything all right? And he said, all is well, my master. All is well. My master had sent me, saying, behold, even now there be come to me from Mount Ephraim two young men of the sons of the prophets. Give them, I pray thee, a talent of silver and two changes of garments. And Naaman said, be content, take two talents. And he urged him and bound two talents of silver in two bags with two changes of garments, and laid them upon two of his servants, and they bare them before him. 24. And when he came to the tower, he took them from their hand and bestowed them in the house. And he let the men go, and they departed. He took whatever the men collected from Naaman, and he discharged them. You understand that kind of thing? You sent your younger sister to go and collect a love letter from your boyfriend or whoever, and there's money in the letter. And you don't want to buy biscuits for that younger sister. You don't want him to know the call, her to know the content. So you took the letter and the money, and you just discharged her. Go and play outside. That's what he used his sense. He discharged those other younger prophets. Sons of prophet, rather. He said, and when he came to the tower, he took them from their hand and bestowed them in the house, and he let the men go, and they departed. Go ahead. He didn't sort them. That was a very greedy man. He didn't sort them. Go ahead. Verse 26. And he said unto him, oh God. This was Elisha speaking now. He said, went not my heart with thee? When the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee, is it a time to receive money or to receive garments and oliveyards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and men servant and maid servant? Verse 27. He said, now Elisha now had to curse his servant. He said, the leprosy therefore of Haman shall cleave unto you and unto thy seed forever. And he went out from his presence a leper as a white snow. No, I would have been okay if Elisha had cursed just Gehazi and let it stop there. But these things are very powerful. How can the spirit of a man go with his own servant to a journey? This was a man. We know that Elisha did great things. Immediately he received the mantle from Elijah, and he was about to cross the river Jordan. He took that mantle, and what did he do? What did he do? Where is the Lord God of Elijah? And he struck. And the Bible said the river Jordan parted. And Elijah walked through. That was a man that was already operating as a spirit. Somebody said, Archbishop Benson, that was like, if God had not taken him, the man was already turning to become a spirit on earth. He was a man like Elisha.
He said, did my spirit not go with you? How can... So you understand? So pastor spirit can actually follow me. Okay, you don't understand. So the spirit of your pastor, now you believe, can actually follow you. If you look at another translation, that one say my heart. If you see most scripture, Bible, most translations use heart and spirit interchangeably. They are intricately interrelated and interwoven. Did my spirit not go with you? So you believe now that even pastor is not here, but his spirit is with me. Because as I am now, I don't even know what I'm saying. But his spirit is rested upon me. Because I follow him. If I'm disobedient, that's why most things don't happen to us. If you are disobedient in this house, there is no way. The title of this second service is The Lifestyle of a Stale and Stagnant Christian. Now we have looked at a stale and stagnant Christian. Now I want to look at the lifestyle and how we can, you know, come out of it. In first service, we just talk a bit about, you know, how Jesus talked about, you know, a lukewarm Christian, which is also described as a stale and stagnant Christian. He said, I prefer you to be hot or cold, not lukewarm. You know, if you put a hot coffee, you can, some people take hot coffee, prefer it. Some people just prefer cold coffee. But when you allow that hot coffee to get down, to cool down, you can, something you may not enjoy. Somehow in your mouth, you just spit it out. Or you see a coffee that they've kept for so long, lukewarm. So we looked at all of that. And in this second service now, we want to really delve on the lifestyle attribute so that we can identify it if it's something that we are seeing in our life or around us. So, let me not digress. So, the spirit of Elisha actually went with Gehazi when he went to do that. What do they call it in today's? Is it runs? Thank you. When he went to do that runs, unauthorized runs. Because in today, let me come to my own environment where I work now. Somebody might want to give my boss something. And like somebody was asking my boss for his account number in my front. It was with me, it was an embarrassment. I said, don't worry. Later. My boss heard it too. He heard it too. He wanted the money. He wanted the money. In our call, he said, what did you tell that guy? I said, Oga, he cannot be asking you for account number in my front now. Or in my front is not a problem. Just in public. No, no, no. Let him call for it. So that was, for me, that is something that your boss is aware. But the one he now did an unauthorized runs. In fact, the boss, Elisha rejected the gift. Elisha told Naaman, don't worry. So he now went in Koron to go and collect it. Even did not, you know, he sent some people so I not look as if he's money conscious. Yeah? He now discharged those people too. So you see how smart Gehazi was. So some of us can be Gehazi here, but we may not know. We might be operating in that spirit. We may not know. If you see in 2 Kings chapter 4, Elisha gave Gehazi the mantle that was passed from him, from Elijah to Elisha. So Elisha had that mantle and he gave Gehazi that same mantle. Say, go and raise the dead child. But Gehazi went there. The mantle did not work. So what happened? He was a stale and stagnant personality in the body of Christ. Or in the house of God. So he was just serving that guy. So you can be in church and your service cannot be recognized, cannot be, you know, captured in the throne of heavens. You just say, okay, this is somebody else that is just marking time. Futility. He went with that same mantle. I did a study on this, and I went to check whether it was the same mantle that was passed down from Elijah to Elisha. That was the same mantle that Elisha gave Gehazi to go and meet that woman. Because the woman did not beg for a child. Because the woman was already saying, see, I told you, don't lie to me. If you know God will not visit me in this my old age, don't lie. Now you have lied to me. God has given me a child and he's taking this child. So Elisha was embarrassed, kind of. So he said, Gehazi, go, go, go. Can a boss not send his servant on an errand again? So the spirit, as Elisha, Gehazi was going for that journey, the spirit of Elisha did not go with him to go and heal. But when he was going to do unauthorized runs, the spirit of Elisha, I don't know if I'm getting something. So you understand why most times pastor will give you some words, or you get some words from us, or from even your brethren among you, and it doesn't hold any water. Something is wrong somewhere. The word is true. Yes and amen. If it's not working in your life, there is something absolutely wrong. And that's what why we are here to correct today. To correct it. That's the essence of the body of Christ. It's not us to come and shout, woo, 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 woo. No, 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 no. We will do that. But we need to hear some deep secrets. That's why most times pastor will tell us, like, look, some certain people, he doesn't want to cancel them again. This is a new year. I don't want, if you don't listen to me. There was one lady I was always counseling. When I finished my BSc, I think I was about starting my MSc in Lagos. My wife hated that conversation because she had known that this lady, yes, they were not married. I don't know. It can't be jealousy, because I told her what I wanted, so she's not jealous. But anytime I finish speaking with that lady, I feel drained. He will tell her something today. She will not do it. She will do the other one. So you want to kill me. So virtue, I now realize when they say virtue left Jesus, I now realize that virtue always leaves me for unnecessary purpose whenever I speak to an uncircumcised Philistine. I was wasting the virtue of God inside of me. So there are some times you don't need to waste that virtue. Move. If you see them coming, just turn your way like this. Reserve it for your family. Reserve it. Reserve it. Reserve it. Reserve it. Reserve it. Oh. Oh my God. I do like this for beer. And I was coming with full, unadulterated wisdom of God to tell her this. I can't tell you something and you will miss it too. That's one thing God has given me. That's one grace. If you follow the words of my mouth as I followed scripture. Sorry, this Bible looks rugged. I'll go and change the back again. This is 2007. I've been holding this Bible. Even if there is no light in my house, I see. I'm telling you, it's not because I've marked some places. I can't, maybe, I don't know whether anybody will say it. I can't allow this Bible to go. If you go, I'll find you. Come back. I forgot it when I went to Benin the last time. I struggled. No, I didn't struggle per se. I knew where things were because I was praying with this prayer partner of mine. We were praying for like, sometimes I would pray 1 hour. I would say, we'll pray. One on phone, on WhatsApp. I would think I've ended the prayer. Two prayer points, Oga, is my boss. Oga, let's, the man will start another 1 hour, 30 minutes. Even me, we like prayer. I used to not, I will mute it. Or when I end the call, I say, this man too like prayer. But he know what was chasing him. He knew what was chasing him. But actually, the man liked prayer. And when it's just still small voice, we are going to pray. We are going to pray at the end. We are going to pray. We are going to pray. And I cannot stop him because he's my boss. He knows my schedule. Even if he can tell me, let's finish this prayer before you go and do your work. If I one day he told me, are we not in the same distance? I can't hide again. If it's before, I will tell him my manager. When I was in Benin, I will tell him my manager is, but now it's a lie. You must pray that prayer. Well, I got so revitalized as well because it has helped me. And we have seen strange testimonies. So when you are struggling as a Christian, please look for somebody to pray with. I was going to that direction. When you think you are struggling as a Christian, look for somebody to edify you. To what? Edify you. It may not be your wife sometimes. Yeah, when Choma was chumarizing me that time, I called my wife immediately. And thank God she picked. She picked the call immediately and we started praying in tongues. So sometimes you need a life support in terms of a prayer partner. Praise the Lord. So we see in scriptures in 2 Kings chapter 4 how Gehazi went with that same mantle and nothing happened. And in John chapter 12 verse 4 to 8, I like us to read the scriptures. John chapter 12 verse 4 to 8. We are looking at Judas, the life of Judas, when, you know, when Mary brought that alabaster box. He said, okay, John chapter 12 verse, let's see. Then said one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him? Verse 5. Next verse. The service is quiet this morning, I understand. He said, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence? He even knew the amount. He was a thief. He even knew how much they could sell that car. He said, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Go ahead. This he said, not that he cared for the poor. Please, pay attention to these scriptures. Not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and he had the bag and bear what was in the purse. So he had the bag, he could quickly... If they had the bag now, I want us to be very practical. You know that time they wear big abada, big gown, right? If he had the bag, you quickly just put his hand in the bag and take some money and put in his pocket. Nobody will know. That's why scripture said he was a thief. Can I still have verse 7? Then Jesus said, Jesus knew the heart of every man. Then Jesus said, let her alone. Leave her. Let her be against this day of my burial as she kept this. Jesus knew the intent and the thought of the heart of Judas. You know, I told you in Psalm 139 verse 2, he said, I know your thoughts afar off. Before you thought of thinking that thing, before you imagined it, Jesus already knew. So, Jesus knew that why Judas, give me verse 8 too, why Judas was saying, let us sell this ointment and use the money for the poor. Judas is that kind of a person that he will give money and say, go and buy. I gave somebody money one time to do something for Christmas for some people. You know what the person did? When I saw the chicken the person bought, I almost cried. Because he charged me for that chicken. So Judas is that kind of a person. When you say, okay, let's do outreach. You want to do, there's something they do now. It's not foundation. There's one other thing they do. Government will just do it. Is it? What is that? After COVID, there's something we did. Palliative. They are thieves. Those are the category. Those are Judas family. They will collect heavy money for palliative, but what they will give is something that you will even weep. How can you be giving somebody indomie and gari for palliative? That's evil. That wickedness in the highest order. So Jesus understood that what Judas was going to do. When they sell that thing, maybe when they gather the amount of money, probably we use just 100, just one quarter of that money for that purpose. You know, the funny thing is, I'm taking time to explain all of this, is that some of us here might be Gehazi or Judas, but we may not know. But God is bringing healing today. In the name of Jesus. The essence of the church is not to point you to your faults and nail you to that cross. No. Jesus has already been nailed. Hallelujah. And he has risen. So the essence of the word is to wash you and, you know, purify you. Wherever you are going like this, it sets you in the right path. Praise the Lord. So let's see verse 8 of that scripture if we have it. Now, Jesus now said, for the poor, you have always with you. But me, you do not have always. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, you see, Pastor said something sometimes. He said, if Judas, or that day that he betrayed Jesus, if Judas came back and appealed to Jesus, say, Lord, have mercy. Jesus would have had mercy on him. But when he came, it was too late. While the first service was going on, in fact, before the first service, God showed me three people that was going to come out here. He didn't show me my wife. He showed me three. And they are still sitting. Maybe after the service, they will come and meet Pastor me or me. It may be too late. It may be too late. Or Pastor. Or you now say Pastor. There was something Pastor Barra was saying. Pastor was not here. But I know his speech was here. He's here, rather. It may be too late. Hallelujah. So what Judas or what Gehazi did is something that we see in today's Christendom. Somebody was sharing an experience with me some time ago, and he was telling me how in his church, how team members struggle with its team leaders. If you want to make a team leader get angry, you will not show up for meeting. Church, you want to make a team leader get angry because they corrected you. You see, that 7 o'clock prayer meeting, they will not see me. Me, I will deal with them. What are you doing? You are still Christian. You need help. In fact, you need a surgical intervention immediately. You need to be put in spiritual intensive care unit because you are a babe and a suckling. Even Jesus said, out of the mouth of babe and suckling, I will ordain strength. You are not permitted to be your... May the Lord have mercy on you. May the Lord have mercy on you. I'm your team leader. We have experienced that too in this church. Pastors are trying. In fact, head pastors are trying. You gave somebody a job. In your office. And because the person is beefing you, why will you beef the person that gave you a job? You are not normal. You claim to be a Christian because of a misunderstanding. You are now beefing the person that gave you a job. So much so that your mother died. Somebody that gave you job. Your mother now died. The person is hearing it from another. You may be. No, somebody in the organization too. That's a sin. That's a sin. I gave you a job now in my office. And you are getting married. Me, I did not know.
Jesus Christ.
Somebody is telling me, did you know that Yvonne is getting married? I'm the one that introduced her or recommended her for the job. That's a sin. That's wickedness. And you are in church. As I say, wickedness can be in your heart. It happened in this church. Not be saying, Christ Embassy. This church, years ago, it happened. But they are no longer here because the atmosphere cannot contain this. There are so many of these that we are facing. I know when I was prayer team coordinator, I manage everybody, but I pray though. You will pray. You see, you will become a father to all of them. Because I remember one morning, God woke me up and he started giving me specific words for everybody. Because I was praying consistently. And I sent to Loretta, I sent to every individually, all of them in that unit. Because God placed me as a covering for that unit. And they were coming back to me and said, yes, yes, this was going on. It was not me. It was because I stayed in the fire of God. Leviticus chapter 12 and verse 6 verse 12. The fire upon your prayer altar shall be ever burning. Shall not be put out. You want to receive from God greater dimension? Stay with God. If Gehazi and Judas had stayed with Jesus closely, and they corrected them. You know, they must have corrected. Elisha must have corrected Gehazi several times. But he didn't listen. Just as we are in church now. Why? Even when they came to attack them, Gehazi would have been able to peep into the realm of the spirits. Because as prophet, you are given some certain privileges to be able to peep into God's heart and know what wants to happen tomorrow or next. As prophets. There are some certain privilege God has given you to peep into his heart and pick out some things, and you begin to prophesy. You begin to speak. So, Gehazi, being staying close to the prophet, he would have enjoyed such privileges to know that when they were surrounded by the enemy, they were chariots of fire that was surrounded with them. But he was shouting, "Alas, Master, we are dead, we are dead." And the servant of God prayed that his eyes would be opened. He would have knew a long time that he was drifting away. That is not going to be our portion in the name of Jesus. So if you are here in this church and you are beefing your team lead, you are beefing pastor. So you will now do any out to your team leader. You're not going to be team pastor. You are a devil. Get out. Jesus, that's what Jesus said. I will spit you out of my mouth. We are going back to that Revelation chapter 3. This is a continuation of first service, part two. He said, I will speak to you. I know your works. I know you inside and out. You have frustrated this lady. You will not come for this thing. She will chat you. You'll be doing lukewarm, lukewarm. If you do like, this, you will then get the post. Then you will now see pastor. Let us look at it now. He said, I will spew you out of my mouth. The first, once you have a leader in your team, that's the first point of authority in the church, in the body of Christ. That's the first point of authority. One of my guys wanted to try that nonsense with me when I resumed. He saw me, a small boy, area manager. We have been in this place for 10 years. You will stay in that mountain for 50 years. So I just came from nowhere. So he was just treating me like if because I liked him, because my boss also liked him. And he was very manipulative. He was very, very, very manipulative. He manipulated that they transferred everybody out and left him. He was supposed to be the area manager, but God now caught him that they sent me there. And I didn't send myself because I didn't like the place. So if he's sending me mail, he will send me mail. FYA. Something you are supposed to do. You are supposed to do your work and push to me. You just say FYA. I don't want us to have issues because I'm trying to understand the land. He kept doing it. There was a day he did it. I just sent him a soft mail, copy my bosses. One day he now did it. There was a shortfall of 2.something million for reconciliation. He just did it. He didn't check the man's work. I was in Lagos that time. He just pushed the mail to me. He was supposed to work on it, then send to me. I will preview. I will look at it. If everything is okay, I will now push it forward for treatment. He now sent me the mail. FYA. Oh my God. I wrote a mail to him. By the time in fact, it's like that guy is using another power. But the power I carry is more than his own. Because when I was sent, I realized that whenever I'm trying to deal with him or to put him in his place, and if I'm sending a mail, he will call me. How did he know? So that day, I was just coming to beg her. I was typing that mail. Just the last line, it was a mail. When I mean a mail, step by step, I said, this thing should not repeat itself again. So as I was about sending the mail, he called me. He said, this thing. I said, okay, no. I said, have you seen the mail I sent? I've not dropped the mail because I know nothing will make me not to drop that mail. You can't frustrate me. No. I carry something. I said, there's nothing that will make me not drop that mail today. As far as God lives, that mail. So I said, have you seen the mail I sent? He said, no. I said, don't worry. Maybe it's network. You will see it. Immediately he dropped the call. Bah! He called me and he was shaking. He said, why will you send that call? No. I did not do that. That's why you have to also apply wisdom as leaders. You don't need to now stand on your right. You have done what you want to do. Go back. Step back. You have done it. Just step back and allow God. So I stepped back. I said, you see, you are not supposed to do this. You know, we have discussed this thing several times. Little did he know. He did not know that I was with the regional head that day. We're in Lagos. So because I've explained all these things to my boss, when my boss heard, my boss now say, put the phone on speaker. So he was saying all the nonsense he was saying. So there are ways to deal with people in the secular world. But we don't have that power in the church because we operate in love. But nobody should now spit on your face because we are operating in love. Praise the Lord. So any team lead, if you get anybody that is frustrating you in that team, please report that person straight to pastor. Don't waste time. If they are not ready, let them go to other places whereby they can practice their witchcraft. That's witchcraft. Aha. Praise the Lord. Have I been able to say something? Yeah. Praise Jesus. It's not in my note, too. Maybe I might not finish my own notes today. Hallelujah. There are many. We have seen a lot. Oh, my God. We have seen a whole lot. Some people did not know that when we started the children's church in our second location there, in Lukpeju, right? Before we started the children's church, it was a battle. Hey, I remember that day. We were in VG. There was no light. The generator, I don't know what happened. We didn't need light. We just need to pray. So some of us now, the reason why you will come for VG is like there's shawarma and there's juice for you to chew. When you remember the shawarma, you go there. Because there's item 7. That time we didn't, not that we cannot afford it. At least, pastor was still working in the bank. Pastor Mitu was working, you know. Pastor David, Pastor me, we were to start the children church. There were opposition. Say, no, we are not ready yet. How can you? And these are two prominent pastors. They say, we are not ready. Pastor did not ask Pastor me because he doesn't want to do Pasha. So he asked me and one other brother. Oh my God. That's my food. I said, Pastor, we are ready. We are more than ready. And we started the children's church anyhow. Praise the Lord. So when you notice there are people in your team that is there to stabilize you, pray about them. If they don't change, then you report them to authority with immediate effect because they are not the ones that created that thing. They are not a stakeholder in the church. Hallelujah. That Jesus is the overall stakeholder. There's nobody that is a stakeholder. It's not their father's business. Praise the Lord. Praise Jesus. Ah, God, bring me back. Jesus. Hallelujah. Okay, let's see Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24. Psalm 139, verse 23, 24. Scripture says, that's David speaking. Says, search me, O God. 23 and 24. Psalm 139. Okay, this is message. Okay, let me see what message we say. Message says, oh my God, investigate my life, oh God. Find out everything about me. Cross-examine me. I love this. And test me. So God, David wants God to actually test him. He said, cross-examine my life and test me. Get a clear picture of what I am about. Do an x-ray. You know when you do an x-ray, you see your heart, you see everything. You know where you swallow that thing that you're not supposed to swallow. That's what David was saying. He said, see for yourself whether I have done anything wrong. Then guide me on the road to eternal life. Oh, we must go back with this scripture. He said, God, cross-examine me. I am not perfect, I know. Now, see for yourself if I have been a thorn on the flesh of the people of the people of Israel. If I have been a thorn on the flesh of the leadership of the church. If I have been a thorn on the flesh in my team. Now, lead me like a sheep. Lead me. Please put up that scripture. He said, lead me. Lead me. Another scripture says in Romans chapter 7 and verse 24. He said, oh wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of bondage of death? Oh wretched man. But in Romans chapter 8 verse 1, he said, but there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the dictate of the flesh, but are walking according to the dictate of the Spirit. Let's see. Romans 7:24. Let me see what you have. Ninja, help me now. He said, I have tried everything and nothing helps. I don't know why media is just giving us this message. I have tried everything and nothing helps. I am at the end of the rope. Is there no hope? Cool down. Don't confuse the prof. He said, I have tried everything and nothing helps. I am at the end of the rope. Is there no one who can do anything for me? Isn't that the real question? He said, oh wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? I think I prefer King James. Oh wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? Give me Romans 8 verse 1. Romans 8 verse 1. Now see the answer to this question in Romans 8 verse 1. He said, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For you not to be a lukewarm Christian, or for you not to be a stale and a stagnant Christian, you need to be able to walk after the dictates of the Spirit. Not after the flesh. Not after what your pocket wants immediately, or what your throat is yearning for, like Gehazi and Judas. Praise the Lord. Okay, I wrote down here, I said, some possible lifestyle of a stale and stagnant Christian. Let's just look at it quickly as I begin to round up. Some possible lifestyle of a stale and stagnant Christian. One, they are focused on their own dreams and desires, but not the kingdom of God. They are so focused on their own dreams and desires, but not the kingdom of God. 2 Chronicles 26 and verse 4. They are focused on their own dreams and desires, but not the kingdom of God. You see, I want this promotion. I want this elevation. I want God to do this for me. I want to marry in so-so-so time, but not They don't have in their plan, they don't have any plan for God. We started praying recently, and my ogre said, "See, I think we need to start praying that when God blesses us, we should do more for the body of Christ. We should do more for the church." He said that should be our line of prayer. God bless me so that I'll be able to do this for you. God bless me so that I'll be able to do that for you. 2 Chronicles chapter 26 and verse 4 and 5. He said he served God in the days of Zechariah the prophet, and as long as he served the Lord. 2 Chronicles 26 verse 4. He said, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father Amaziah did. Verse 5. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord God made him to prosper. So if you want to prosper in this year of rest, you need to find time to seek God. Put God's business as your own business. If you are to put church first, church business first, put it. Let anybody talk to you. Let them call you any name, radical Christian. But they don't know what you are getting. They don't know what you are getting. I don't miss online service when I'm not in town. I don't miss it for any reason. Psalm 61 and verse 1. He said, early will I seek him. You don't wait for the problem to arise before you begin to seek God. You don't prepare for battle in the day of the battle, the front of the battle. You prepare before the battle begins. For some of us, is when there is battle, we now begin to prepare and start to organize ourselves. It's as long as he sought the Lord God did what? Made him to prosper. So a lukewarm, stale, and stagnant Christian always focus on their own dreams, their own career, aspirations. But you don't know that as long as you are pushing, Jesus, once you push God's business, what is left for him to do? He will push your own. Danu. He will push it far that you can never think or imagine. So please, from today, carry God's thing on your head. Let them know that you are a Christian in your office. Some of us don't like people to know. So that in case we want to make a dandy coco, nobody will know. They will just be vibing. Nobody will know that you are a Christian. Let them know. They should know that you are born again. You bear in your body the mark of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes. Once they don't know, they will be carrying everything, tempting you. Number two, he is focused on being a good person, not a godly person. He is focused on, I'm just there, let me just be a good man, let me just be good. He is focused on being a good person and not a godly person. We'll look at Romans 12 verse 2. Number three, he goes to church but does not have a transformed life. Lifestyle of a stale and stagnant Christian, he goes to church but does not have a transformed life. That's why some strong Bible-believing churches in this city or Nigeria will tell you, if after 3 months your life is not transformed, don't come to this church again. Once you believe in this ministry and you follow the principles of this ministry, 3 months is too much. The ark of God was in Obed-Edom's house for 3 months. That's where they got that revelation from. The ark of God was in Obed-Edom's house for 3 months, and in that 3 months, God blessed Obed-Edom beyond his wildest imagination. They wanted to kill Obed-Edom because the ark was killing everybody. They said, take him to that useless man's house. But for 3 months, God blessed him. God turned his captivity around. So if you follow God sincerely for 3 months and your life is still remaining the same, then check it. There may be something wrong. He goes to church but does not have a transformed life. Romans 12 verse 2. Say, do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. The renewing of your mind. Something must renew. There must be a mental shift. You can't come to church and believe what you used to believe. There must be a renewal of your mind. Say, for who are not the mind of God that you may instruct him, but I have the mind of Christ. Can't you see that scripture? Who had known the mind? See, sometimes God will just go and look at Isaiah chapter 10 verse 12. We're trying to do a study, but leave that one. Who had known the mind of God that he may instruct him? But I have the mind of Christ. I have the mind of Christ. So I can tell God something and God will listen to me because I have the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ is a possibility mindset. The mind of Christ is a can-do mindset. The mind of Christ was what Joshua and Caleb demonstrated when they went to check the land that was full of nothing. The land was full of nothing, total nothing. But the remaining 10 spies came. And they spoke what they saw through their microscopic lens. They spoke the real truth. They know, by the time you put your lens in this direction, who are the, what are they calling them now? Those who that check land now. Surveyors. By the time you survey this land, oh, it's a waterlogged land and it might put us into trouble. So let's not buy the land. Let's not even dare. So they came and they spoke exactly what they saw. But those that have the mind of Christ, Joshua and Caleb, we are well able to take over that land. He said, we are well able. Let's go. Let's go. We are well able. We are well able. Yes, they are giants. They are grasshoppers. But we are well able. I don't know what you are looking at in your life and you are thinking, oh, I cannot achieve this. God is saying today, you are well able. You are well able. Many of us are going to be landowners this year. Prophetically, I speak it. Prophetically, I speak it. You see, I found out something lately. The landowners, I don't want to use somebody here in this church to describe. But you see, the people that have seen their own lands, they are those that probably they did not graduate from the university. They are just doing menial jobs and they get opportunities. They hear about this land and they just begin to buy it. I've seen, my wife showed me her cousin. This one has a land. I said, Yekba. This one has here. I said, what are they doing since? This one has here. And I look at them. But God is giving so many of us landed properties this year. Yeah. I'm speaking because you are well able. Don't think you are not. You are well able. You don't need to know how it's going to be, but it's going to be in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. That project that you think you cannot achieve, God is saying you are well able. Amen. You are well able. I said it before the service began that you will knock on one door and seven doors will open unto you. Yeah. My boss were praying. He was praying for promotion and transfer to where? South. You didn't know what he was telling me. Ah! He said, Bara, I will miss the... I hope you will not listen to this message. He said, Bara, I will miss the entourage of the police escort in South. Because the South man has police... He said, I will miss the police escort and everything. You are the one that prayed for promotion and transfer. And they promoted you. And they actually, if they took him to South, he wanted... Maybe a promotion, but it's not for me. That is not a promotion. Maybe just a level promotion. I'm looking at something that once they promote you in level, it will reflect nationally. And what he got now is a national position. And he will not be telling me, oh, I say, oh, God. So don't think we are supermen. I'll be telling him, oh, God, forget those things. God that took you there, he knows why he took you there. Praise the Lord. So you might be praying for one smaller thing, and God is packaging a bigger package for you. And he said, Bara, we're just praying casually, promoted. And his mind was in. So the thoughts of men are not the thoughts of God. What you think God wants to do for you is not what he actually has in mind. He has something bigger. South is still at a level for me. Praise the Lord. The Lord will visit somebody in this service today. In the mighty name of Jesus. He said they had the mind of Christ. If you have the mind of Christ, everything is settled. Everything is settled. Even if your parents broke up in their marriage, you that have the mind of Christ, it cannot happen. You know, my father died at 37. So, there's this nonsense thought that will fly into my mind. I say, am I sure I was going to cross 37? Devil, you are a bastard. But when you have the mind of Christ, a renewed and a transformed mind, those thoughts cannot pass through. Praise God. Number four says, a stagnant and a stale Christian is totally careless. He does not care about the state of sin in his heart. He does not care about the state of sin in his heart. That's why you see somebody, when they commit sin, they will just say, okay, let's die into it. No. Once you make a mistake, run to the throne of grace. Run. Just run. The moment you allow that sin to begin to build up, you will end up in a quagmire. What you will not be able to come out. Go and ask David. After he saw the woman batting, he looked. Somebody said, your eyes is not born again. The eyes are meant to see or look, right? But when you look by chance, you see, and you now look again. Now look again, you don't enter. So when you see somebody, you can even see, let me be practical, please. You can see Okay. You can see a sister sit carelessly in the office. You saw it by mistake. But you know what your mind will now tell you? Look, 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 look. Look, look. You know, before I got born again, if I want to look at a sister, some people don't know anything. If I want to look at a sister, if the sister is passing like this, and it's coming like that, I will put my eye there. So that by the time my friend will not know. So by the time she passes and she's there, you understand? Don't copy this, you know. Please, edit it. So there are a lot of things the devil will bring to you. But if you stay in that scene, so David looked, he saw by chance, and he looked, and he fell. And God had to kill that baby that came out of that, act. He was begging God not to kill the baby. God had to kill, and God showed mercy on him by allowing Solomon to become king. The Bible is sweet. You will think God is, he will show you mercy when you come to him boldly and open up yourself. Just like that scripture. Just God search me. You know now. You know that I have this habit that. So your husband might not even know some things that you and God know. That's to have to tell you how God is closer to you. Praise the Lord. Praise Jesus. So the next point is that he's totally careless. Okay, I've just said he's totally careless. He does not care about the state of sin in his heart. Number five, he is easily influenced by the crowd. I have just three more points. Round up. He is easily influenced by the crowd. He goes with the flow. He goes with the flow of the crowd. Pastor was saying sometime when they're having end of year party in their office, people know him. They know him that he's a pastor. Nobody will bring alcohol to him. He won't die. But the moment you hide the fact that you are born again, they will bring those things to you. In the nature of my job, I meet a lot of great people. In fact, when we don't talk in trucks, we are counseled to talk in trucks before they come and carry you. We talk in bags. So I meet a lot of great people. We meet in places like Ikoyi Club in the city where I've been working. So sometimes they will say, Bara, you know what, let's just go and discuss there. We can discuss anything, but let's go and discuss there. And you will see sometimes they will bring all manner of wine. Oh my God. All manner. My junior colleagues will look at it and say, Oga, this one go good for you. I will say, check the percentage. Once they mention 1%, I don't take it. But the moment they don't know that you are born again, it's easy for you to follow the crowd because nobody knows. You're already hiding your identity. You're ashamed of Jesus. And if you're ashamed of him, he'll be ashamed of you. So for you to come out of this, you need to let people know your stand in Christ. You don't need to follow the crowd. Hallelujah. Number six. He said, they never want to speak up for Jesus, especially in front of other people. These two points are almost the same. They never want to speak up for Jesus. They never want to say anything about Jesus. They never want to say it. You can be having an honest conversation with somebody, and the person is talking about how life has been very tough and challenging, you know. And when you are talking, please introduce Jesus in that conversation. He's the author and finisher of that person's faith, of your faith. And he will be the one to help that person. Do you know Jesus can help you? That's how evangelism starts. We're not permitted to do evangelism in those days where we got saved. We're doing secret evangelism because my auntie must not know that I'm going for evangelism. If not, she will give me assignment. So I'll just put the small Bible in my pocket and we're out. That was how I got saved. I got saved through secret evangelism. So your office, you can have that secret evangelism. Just a simple conversation with somebody through lunch, on lunchtime. And the person is telling you how life is tough. Come on, the person is already giving you, if that's the harvest field, you don't need to wait to take over the nations. The nation is in front of you. Take that one first. Trust in the sickle and reap. The time of the harvest is now. Revelation chapter 14 and verse 15. Now, in that your office space, now is the time of the harvest. Don't wait for crowd. So in that opportunity, just tell them, ask God, your prayer point should be, Lord, let people bring problems to me that I can solve through your wisdom, through demonstrating your wisdom. Isaiah 3 and verse 6 says, wisdom and knowledge is the stability of your times and the strength of your salvation. It is God's wisdom that will stabilize you, even if you don't know what you're about to say. You think all the things I'm saying, I wrote them. I'm not the one speaking. God is speaking his wisdom through me. So you don't need to be afraid of what you are going to tell that brother. God is sending all of us back to the field. It is time for rural rugged evangelism. It is time for us to go back. People are dying. People are dying. People need help. That's why we are the church, the body of Christ, the ecclesia. So see this week as an opportunity to share God's word. The good news to somebody. Let them come and tell you, my father has been sick. My father has been, it's an opportunity. You root out the scripture. That's why you must have scripture in your heart. Praise the Lord. Okay. Number 7. I added this point, I think, during the service. They don't want to be governed. I think I've said something about this. The stale and stagnant Christians, they don't want to be governed at all. In church, they just feel if you are the unit head, they want to frustrate your efforts. Those are stale and stagnant Christians. So if you are here and you are disobedient to your unit head, or you are making your team member cry about you. Some people have left this church because of what other people did to them. I perceive that too. You can make somebody get angry and say, if this is what church is about, I'm no longer going to do it. Those people said they also need help. Because Adeboye faced this thing one time in his life when he was criticized after a successful conference. And his father in the Lord did not believe him and just took the report as it were. And he said, Lord, if this is what Christianity is all about, I don't think I'm interested. And God asked him, have I ever disappointed you? So when man disappoints you, man's lifting is limited, but God's lifting is limited. It's limited. Limitless, rather. Man's lifting. Man can only lift you to a level. You tell me any man that wants to lift you above his son. Man can only lift you to a level. But God's lifting is forever. Limitless. 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 I'm telling you the truth. Praise the Lord. Number 8. They are devoted to God as long as it is convenient. As long as, you know, when we used to run to church 7 o'clock, we start prayer team. When is your prayer meeting now, Mama? When is your prayer meeting now? Early morning prayer. 7:15. Yeah, you can't get that with me. My own is 7. You will come. And they came. Why? Not that I'm a superman. No. Ask my wife how tough I am. Yesterday, I initiated the fight. But I remembered. God remembered me. You are going to preach to me. I just apologize. But even at that, I used to apologize now. Why are men always doing strong head? Our wives are wonderful beings. God have mercy on me. I pray she will also forgive me. You know, yesterday we do things together, but yesterday when I said no, you're supposed to know that this thing is supposed to be there. And she was like, you know. And I said, no, I don't agree. So for me, it's not because I am a superman or I am strong hearted or I don't know. Maybe it's the Niger Delta spirit. No, not be. That is not how I succeeded as prayer team coordinator. No. People will frustrate you. I remember one night we had. I never expected some people to come. When I saw them coming in, I almost wept. I was full of joy. You need to show love as well. You need to also show love to people because people are hurting. You need to, but some people, no matter how form of love you show them, those one, those two, they will still want to frustrate you. That is another case study. But I demonstrated love, real love, because pastor was always telling us, love, love, love. This love has captured me, your love. Love, love. So pastor taught us love, actually. So if you want to carry his spirit, you must demonstrate love. How I caught his spirit was through love. Somebody came here from another church. I don't know. And the lady, I don't know if Pastor Omi was aware. But my wife was aware. Because I don't know who told me. The lady I heard it and I was happy. He said, this guy has the spirit of Pastor Benga Savi. They don't know us. They came from Akure. Pastor, what is that his name? Our elderly man. Pastor Sheyi. The wife said it that day. And striving to walk under your leader, serve him, like, you know, serve him as he's serving Christ. You need to catch something from him. If you have not caught that thing, go and check your life. That reminds me, 2022, he came for, I gave birth, and I'm in Kafanchan. Pastor will come, I will name my child, wherever I am. So we're privileged. At least we had the resources. We invited him. He came for our child naming in 2022, and he forgot his face towel. See, today, that face towel is in one of our child's drawer. 2022. That was the mantle for us. So whenever the child is feeling somehow in the night, the children now, they are now two. My wife knows better. Because most times I may not remember. She will just bring that mantle and apply it first before we start praying. These things are just, they are biblical principles. He said they are devoted to God as long as it is convenient. Matthew chapter 19 verse 17. The man cried out to Jesus, what lack I yet? I want us to see the scripture. Matthew chapter 19 verse 17. They are devoted to Jesus as long as, if it's convenient for them to come to church 7 o'clock, they will come. If it's not convenient, they will not come. How we did it, I don't know that time. Because 7 o'clock was our prayer and we came. Then I was coming for Sulele. And everybody came. We had everybody. Those that could not come. You know, when they come to me, let me report myself now. I won't be happy when I don't see them. But when they come to me, or we are just rounding up and I see two beautiful sisters coming, and with a smile, they just say, Pastor Barra, we are sorry, we were late. I don't know where that love spirit will just, is there, but it will just fill me like the presence of God. And I will just be happy. Sadness will flee. What the enemy wants is for me to be sad and kill me for that day. But that joy will just come in and I will hug them. And the next time, they will not repeat it. You will pray. You want to lead a team. And so when I saw them coming in, oh my God. When I saw those two damsels coming in on that revival, that night vigil, that all night. I said, God, I never expected these two people. I know how busy their work schedule is. I know how tush they are now in today's world. But I thank God. And that we were none of us was missing in that meeting. None of us. And we had a retreat. I used to stretch them. Pastor Omi would be saying, I don't kill these people. We will stay in church Friday to Sunday. We'll be sleeping during Saturday. I'll plan it. That Saturday, we have 4 hours prayer. We need to go back. That Saturday, we have 4 hours prayer. So while in the retreat, not just prayer, we are teaching lifestyle, work, ethics, project slides, and everything. All of us will be sleeping during. Something must leave you for something to come. Praise the Lord. As a stale and stagnant Christian, something must go for God to come. He said, let go and let God. Do you know that song? Let go, let God, let go, let God. Let God have his way. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah, let me have that scripture, please. Matthew 19, verse 17. And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one that is God. See, you must understand all this. If not, you mistake scriptures. All these command, all those signs. When you read scripture, read that. So yeah. And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one. That is God is the one that is good. But if thou will enter into life, keep the commandments. Let's see the next verse. He said unto him, which? Jesus said, that is the man asking Jesus now, which of the commandments? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother. thou shalt love your neighbor as yourself. Go ahead. Go ahead. Now, verse 20. Please pause. There was one particular commandment Jesus kept away from this man. He would have told him there, but he deliberately kept it away from him. We'll see it. The young man said unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth. What lack I yet? That commandment that Jesus kept was, you should love the Lord with your what? Your what? I didn't get that. All you have. All your heart. All your heart. And the Bible says, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. I mean, give me that scripture, please. Don't take it away. Where your treasure is, that is where your heart is. Sometimes when I'm away, I will just be thinking of my family. They are the treasure I have. Think. Jesus kept that one away from him. I don't know why. But look, Jesus said unto him, if that will be perfect, go and sell all that you have and give to the poor. And you shall have treasure where? In heaven. And what did Jesus now say? And come and follow me. Please, is there any part of the Bible after the 12 disciples that Jesus called any other person? There is no part. Is there any? There is none. I've not seen. I searched. This was an open check to be the 13th disciple. Look at it now. When Jesus healed that madman, the man said, I want to follow you. The man suggested and said, let me just see. Right now, I don't know what to, if not for you. If you had not turned my captivity around, where will I be? Let me just follow you. I don't have anybody. I don't have any. Let me just follow you. And Jesus sent him into the, shot him into the town as a testimonial, as an arrow. He shot him into the town as a testimonial. I said, go and give your testimony inside the town. But for that man, please leave that scripture. But for that man, he said, when you sell all of this and give to the poor, now come and follow me. He didn't say, go and follow James, Peter, John. All the people Jesus called directly, he said, follow me. Remember, I can boldly say, this has been my research for years, that this would have been a 13th disciple. Because all the people he called, they left everything and what? Followed him. In fact, some of them accused him. You say we should leave everything, Abi? We have left everything. What has become of us? He said, sell everything and you come and follow me. The next verse. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had what? Oh my God. He was like Bill Gates of our time. He had great possession. Had me? How will I lose my refinery? I will lose my cement company. I will lose everything. I will not follow you with your sandals and this gown. Follow you to where? He was offended. So some of us are like this man. Oh my God. Some of us now are like this man. What you are still asking, what lack I yet? What lack I yet? Where your treasure is, that is where your heart is. We must be conscious to guard our heart. Very, very, very conscious. Out of it are the issues of life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to rise up this morning as we pray. Your grace has found me just as I am, empty and dead, but alive in your hands. Majesty, majesty, majesty. Choir, help me. Forever I am changed by your love.
I am changed by your word.
In the presence of your majesty.
Oh,
we sing in majesty. Oh, we sing in majesty. Oh, your grace has found me. Grace has found me just as I am, empty and dead. Just like that man in scriptures, Lord, I am in the choir. Lord, In fact, I used to suggest the uniform for the choir. I crack my brain. I do more work, more than the leaders in the choir. I am in the sanitation department, Lord. I have served you. What lack I yet? What am I lacking? That scripture is there for you to know there's something missing. There is a missing link. Some of us are like walking corpse now. Walking corpse. We are just walking, but we are actually dead. But we are in the realm of the spirit. The devil has extrayed us. So we are going to lift up our voice as we pray this morning. What lack I yet? What are you lacking? Talk to God. There must be something you are lacking. That's why the scripture is there for us. To edify. To edify us. To wash us. To revitalize us. To cleanse us. Can you lift up your voice and say, Lord, what am I lacking? Help me. Help me. We have looked at the lifestyle of a stale and stagnant Christian. That is a lukewarm Christian. God, what am I lacking as a person? As a son of yours, as a daughter of yours. Search me. Try me. Know my thoughts. See if there be any way that is not of you, that is in me, that is growing inside of me. Lead me in the way that is right. Lead me in the way that is right. Can you turn that to a prayer this morning? Can you just begin to pray? You don't need permission from anybody to pray. If that person wants to hear what you are saying, move aside. Talk to God. Heart to heart. Heart to heart. This is a spirit check, spirit heart check exercise this morning. Open your heart before God and ask Him, God, help me. Wickedness is in my heart. Now, there's somebody that offended me. I want that person dead. But Lord, help me. The person cannot die. Your word does not permit a Christian to kill. You can't kill that person in your heart. Some of us wish accidents. Some of us wish pain for our enemy. Some of us wish them bad things. Talk to God this morning. There is healing in this house this morning.
We have come to Him who says He's the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. You know, seeking God can be very tough when you try to do it by the power of your flesh. When you try to draw a schedule for yourself, I'll wake up 6 a.m., I'll pray, I'll study the Bible. You may be successful for the first day, second day, third day. But as long as you rely on your abilities, on your strength to be able to seek Him, to be able to fellowship with Him, you will fail in it. And that is why He has given us the gift of the Holy Spirit. One of the things the Holy Spirit does is He pulls us to God. He tunes our desires. He helps us to understand and to recognize that we need to be close to God. He has given us the Spirit to teach us all things, to teach us how to seek God, to teach us how God wants to be sought, to teach us how God wants to be loved. You are going to commend yourself to the Holy Spirit this morning and say, Spirit of the Lord, help me. I can't achieve this by my powers. I can't seek His face by my strength. I have tried with my ability. I have tried. I built a schedule for myself. I built a timetable for myself. I set an alarm for myself. I have spoken to myself. I have sought advice. I have sought counsel. But it has failed because I keep depending on my flesh. Spirit of the Lord, this morning I come to you. I receive strength. I receive grace to seek the Lord. Grace to serve diligently. Grace to be committed to the cause of